We'll now ask our speaker, Mr. Jonathan Lawrence, to give us his class entitled, Who is the Antichrist?
Good evening, everybody. Thank you very much for coming out this evening. We have an extremely fascinating subject here before us this evening. Who is the Antichrist? This subject that has caused very much debate in the world around us. There are wide and varying views on this subject. The three major religions in our society have widely differing views. The Islam, the Muslims have a different view from Judaism, who have a different view from Christianity. The events surrounding the Antichrist are dealing with future events and worldwide events. So they affect all of us in this way. And I'm sure you've all seen, maybe read, the series of books that have sold millions of copies that put forward mainstream Christianity's views on this subject of the Antichrist. And that's really the reason for our lecture, for this talk this evening. I've been reading those books, and they fascinated me, and I thought that I would try and do some of my own Bible study to look at what the Scriptures tell us about this subject, and hopefully present that to you this evening. So we're going to compare what the Bible says about the subject of Antichrist. We had our reading this evening that gave us a little bit of idea of just who this Antichrist is. Is there a reason to fear being left behind as the books are presented to us? Who is the Antichrist? What really is going to happen in the future events? Is what is purported by Christianity today really going to happen to us? And this is all very important. This affects our daily lives. This affects our eternal life. And these things that affect us today. So it's very important that we correctly understand what the Bible prophecies that we have before us lay out, as because it affects us in our everyday lives. It's so important, and I hope I convey this to you this evening, that we hopefully see that popular Christianity is setting itself up to oppose Jesus when he returns to this earth. And I'll repeat that a number of times throughout this evening. Hopefully, that idea comes across. The ideas spoken of in the Left Behind series and by evangelicals across this world are preparing Christians to fight against Jesus when he returns. Hopefully, we'll present that this evening. So there's three main things that we're going to look at this evening. First of all, we'll take a look at just what the major religions are looking for in the Antichrist when he returns or comes. Next, we'll look at specifically what Christianity tells us from misinterpreted Bible prophecies. And finally, we're going to look at what Scripture, the Bible, tells us quite clearly and quite simplistically as what this Antichrist is or who this Antichrist is. So, first of all, I'm going to ask you, and if you could just call out a couple of what you think of the Antichrist. When I say the word Antichrist, or when you think of the Antichrist, what are some pictures that come into your mind? What are some phrases or some... What comes into your mind? I would like to know, and I think it would be good for us just to kind of get an idea of what are our ideas about of the Antichrist. If there's anybody, I've asked a number of people this question, if there's any ideas out there as to just what is the Antichrist? Shout it out. Antichrist, very good, very good. Anything else that comes to your mind when you think of Antichrist? Well, I'll give you the ideas that came, that I was presented with when I asked a number of my peers at the university what they thought of the Antichrist. I just said, well, Antichrist, what comes to your mind when I ask you that question? Some of them were Christian, and some of them were not. So, the Christians that I asked at my school at UVic at the university, they gave me the idea of an Israeli leader who would be emerging in the future, who would come to power in the future, and this person, specific individual, would establish peace in the Middle East. He would cause the temple to be rebuilt in Jerusalem. He would be a good person on the outside. He would seem like he would be doing good things, but really bad things would be going on behind the scenes. And some people would think that this person was the Messiah or the Savior of the world. That what the Antichrist will be doing will be deceptive and have ulterior motives to what's going on. So that was the Christian idea that I was presented with. And the other people that I talked to, the non-Christians, they gave the idea of such things as Satan, evil, red. A part of all of us was something that I was presented with, as well as a disruption of existing peace, which has potential for positive results. So all of these things, you can see how there's a wide variety of ideas and different viewpoints out there as just what is this Antichrist? What does this word mean? What is it all about? So I just thought I'd throw that out there to give you an idea of the huge variety of ideas about this Antichrist. So let's start off then by giving a quick overview of the three major religions, Jewish, Muslim, and Christianity, of what they're expecting in the future as to what Antichrist will do and what will be their view on the end times. So that's what we've titled it, Comparison of World Religion Views on End Times. So the first event, wars and moral corruption, murder, adultery. So that will be prevalent in the society at the time of Antichrist or the end times. So all three of the major religions believe that that's something that we can look for as an event that will occur around this time. Interesting, a red heifer will be found. Again, the Jewish and Christianity, those are found in those beliefs to these end times, not found in the Muslim faith. In the Muslim faith, they believe that the sun will rise in the west in the time of Antichrist. A little bit of a change. There will be an attempt to destroy the Dome of the Rock before Jesus returns. That's what the Antichrist will do, will destroy the Dome of the Rock. All three of the major religions present that idea. There will be an attempt to build the third temple before Jesus returns. Again, all three of the major religions think that. Israel will be very prosperous and at peace at the time of the end, the Jews and Christianity. Jesus will raise the dead at his return. Only the Muslims hold to that one. And there will be a judgment that will take place on earth at Jesus' return. Again, the Jews and Christianity reject that one, whereas the Muslims think that's something that will happen around the time of Antichrist or the end time, as it is stated. So we can see some similarities there, and we can see some big differences. Now, obviously, this is not an exhaustive, complete layout of everything that these three religions believe, but I thought that was just a quick overview of some of the ideas that are presented to us. Now, here specifically is what the series and mainstream Christianity presents to us as to what the Antichrist will do and what the events will be surrounded this time of Antichrist. Sorry about that. So he will appear shortly. Oh man, I can't even read that. He will appear shortly after the armies of Russia are miraculously destroyed in Israel, is the gist of what I was trying to say there. That was supposed to go across all one line. But that's okay. We'll continue on. He begins as a peacemaker. This is Antichrist, directing the world to disarm. The Jews will be prominent in welcoming and supporting him. He will be responsible for a Middle East peace agreement between Israel and her enemies. He will rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. This is all attributed to the Antichrist from the Left Behind series. He will make a covenant with the Jews. He will allow the Jews to return to the law of Moses, i.e. making animal sacrifices and such like with the temple. He will perform superhuman signs, wonders, and miracles. He will claim to take the place of Jesus Christ, Antichrist. The world will be commanded to worship him. He will ruthlessly put down all opposition. He will make a covenant with the Jews. He establishes one world government. He establishes one world religion. He appears to be immortal. And he will persecute heretics. Now all of these come from this series, the Left Behind series. So now that is a fairly good idea of the major events that are set forward in this series and by mainstream Christianity around us. These are all of the ideas that come forward to us of just what the Antichrist, this specific person that they believe will come, and he will do all of these things. Now this is widely accepted as truth in our society, and it paints a picture, I believe, of fictional events that will occur after the rapture while Antichrist rules this world. This series chronicles the undertakings of the characters as they fight against Antichrist. Now throughout the series there are many quotes that are taken from scripture, from the Bible, to support what happens in these books. The prophecies from throughout scripture, from Genesis all the way through Revelation, are used to fit the idea of Antichrist. Now obviously I don't agree with these, so the largest error that I believe that happens in these books is how they interpret prophecy throughout the Bible. So most of the Bible prophecies from Revelation, from Genesis to Revelation, are taken to occur after the rapture. Events specifically in Daniel and in Zechariah, and especially in Revelation, are all said to occur post-rapture. Now this view is not supported by a comprehensive Bible study. The view that Revelation and most other Bible prophecies are said to take place in the future was invented in the 16th century. In 1540, Ignatius Loyola founded the now infamous Society of Jesus, the Jesuits, as the order who was to spearhead the Counter-Reformation. It soon became apparent that the persecution was not going to change people's minds as to the meaning of Revelation. They could only burn so many people at the stake. Thus, a truly brilliant strategy was devised. Develop new interpretations of Revelation. Two of the most gifted scholars in the society were appointed to carry out the works, F. Ribera and L. Lancaster. A Catholic writer, G.S. Hitchcock, comments on the writings of these two individuals on page 7 of his book, The Beast and the Little Horn. He says, "The futurist school, founded by the Jesuit Ribera in 1591, looks for the Antichrist Babylon and a rebuilt temple in Jerusalem at the end of the Christian dispensation." Basically what he's saying is post-rapture, after the Christians have been taken away. The preterist school, founded by the Jesuit Alcazar in 1614, explains the revelation by the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70, or the fall of pagan Rome in 410 AD. So we can see here quite clearly that these views, this view of how to interpret Revelation in Scripture, were invented 1600 years after John wrote or was given the Revelation in our Bibles. It's also interesting to point out that at this time, around 1540 or so it would be, so it is said there on the screen, that people were interpreting Revelation and finding themselves, the events that were happening around themselves, they could see themselves fitting into what Revelation was talking about. These people at that time could see the fulfillment of parts of Revelation in their very day. Now these were the voices that had to be stopped in order for the Catholic Church to dominate the society. Those were the oppositions that needed to be silenced. By coming up with these two new ways of interpreting prophecy, they could disregard what the Protestants at that time were saying about the church. It could not mean that the Catholic Church was found in Revelation. All these events were either future, having to do with some other thing, or that they were already in the past and had already taken place. These were two very convenient methods, but one that strayed vastly from what prophecy had, from the way that prophecy had been interpreted from the beginning. As the Bible is laid out, so also is prophecy in the Bible. The Bible is laid out from Genesis to Revelation, from the beginning to the end. There has been no time when God is not working out his plan and purpose in this world. The Bible starts in the beginning and runs through the end. It is a continuous historical book. There has always been signs for believers to look for to ensure them that God is still working his plan out in this world. Even that time gap that we have between Malachi and Matthew, there was a set time period that Bible students could look to for comfort and for assurance that God was still working in their lives. God has not left us in the dark for 2,000 years, approximately since the time of the revelation. He's not left us to fend for ourselves, but he has given us an idea of what is going to happen. He has blessed us with a fairly clear picture of the events that will lead up to and after the return of Jesus to this earth. Now, Revelation is one of those pictures, along with Daniel, along with Zechariah, and along with prophecies given by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. To say that the revelation happens completely in the future, after the rapture, is to contradict the Bible itself. The allusions and the echoes that are found in Revelation tie it directly to other prophecies in Scripture. Now, we do have clear pictures of other prophecies in the Scripture, Daniel, for example, that do not occur in the future, but are occurring now and have occurred in the past. Specifically, Daniel chapter 2 and chapter 7, which we are going to take a look at, have been discussed in depth from this platform before. The clear pictures that we have from the prophecies of Daniel are explained to us quite explicitly and in clear language, so we can base our trust in those chapters quite explicitly, and it's quite easy to interpret Daniel. These prophecies in Daniel that we will take a look at are used in the Left Behind series to claim a future Antichrist. The beasts are interpreted to be future kingdoms, and especially the fourth beast that we have in Daniel chapter 7 is said to be a future kingdom. So let's take a quick look at what Daniel is all about before looking in depth at what Antichrist is all about. So let's turn to Daniel, take a quick look. Now, obviously, we're not going to be able to do this exhaustively, but if we could take a look in Daniel and see what is going on and see how we can interpret these things and then see how they fit in with the rest of the Bible. So Daniel chapter 7, verses 1 to 8. We have a description here of four beasts. We'll see what comes out of this. So Daniel chapter 7, verses 1 to 8. Let's read those. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And I beheld another beast, a second like to a bear, and it raised itself up on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise and devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon its back, which upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. And after this I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. And it devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. So we have there four beasts. Now you might think, so there's four beasts. They're kind of interesting beasts. Some of them have four heads and wings, and interesting things happen to these beasts. Now, specifically the fourth beast there, there's quite a description about it. It's dreadful and terrible, and a number of things happen to it. Now, specifically, this beast has been ascribed to being the Antichrist. If we look down a little bit farther in Daniel, we will see an interpretation of who this beast is and what this beast is all about. Let's look at verses 15 to 18 and then at verse 23. Specifically, it says, verse 15, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. So he doesn't really understand what's going on here too. He's like, I don't understand. What do these beasts mean? Verse 16 says, I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all of this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall rise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. And verse 23 talks about the fourth beast. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. So we have there, the four beasts are four kingdoms. The fourth beast is the fourth kingdom in a series of events. We have four beasts coming out of the sea, one after the other, and the fourth beast is the fourth kingdom in a line of beasts. Now this chapter 7 parallels very well with chapter 2 of Daniel as well. In chapter 2, we also have an idea of four kingdoms being presented to us. Now they are presented to us in a slightly different manner. We have Nebuchadnezzar's image, as it is called, where the king of Babylon is given a dream. And in this dream, he sees an image. And the image is divided into, well, it's actually five parts, but four major parts. The head, the chest and arms, the belly and thighs, and the legs, and finally the feet. And that vision is described as being four kingdoms, each proceeding from the other one. And the king of Babylon is specifically told that he is the first kingdom, the head of gold. Now, there is many parallels between chapter 7 and chapter 2, and each one of these kingdoms matches up. The first kingdom, Babylon, matches with the first beast that we have here. The second kingdom, as we look back through history, would have been the Persian kingdom. The Medes and the Persian, the two sides to that kingdom, the two arms that are found there. The third kingdom would have been the Grecian kingdom. And finally, the fourth kingdom was said to be the Roman Empire, the fourth and last and diverse kingdom, as we move through the parallels that we have here between Daniel chapter 2 and chapter 7. So this chapter 7 is another representation or another picture that we are given of Daniel chapter 2 and the image and these kingdoms, these future events that were going to happen after Daniel's time. Now chapter 7 gives us a little bit more information from Daniel chapter 2 and gives us a slightly different perspective, but all of the same empires that were to come. So quite quickly, we have not been able to go into this exhaustively and showed you all of the parallels, but we can see there that there are four kingdoms, that these are world empires that were to come and to rule the earth after and during the time of Daniel. The fourth beast specifically we can see to be traced to the Roman Empire, which came after the Grecian Empire. The fourth beast then is a representation of the Roman Empire. We are given two different pictures of that empire in chapter 2 and in chapter 7 of Daniel. Taking these verses and ascribing them to the Antichrist does not fit with what the Bible tells us. We don't have time to go into Daniel chapter 11, but many of the verses in Daniel chapter 11 are also ascribed to what the Antichrist is going to do. It is quite easy to prove, and we can we can go there after if you'd like us to take a look at. But Daniel chapter 11 is talking to us about the Seleucid and the Ptolemaic empires and the struggle that went on between the two of them, who followed from Alexander the Great, and eventually those two empires became part of the Roman Empire, following from the third empire, going down into the fourth empire. From here, we can take a look at the Bible echoes of this beast, of this fourth beast, and how, and then we can relate those through to Revelation. So in Daniel chapter 7, verse 3, talking about this fourth beast, we have verse 7 specifically. And after this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceeding, and it had iron teeth, great iron teeth. And it devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. So things that I'd like you to look at is that we have four beasts that come up from the sea in verse 3. The fourth beast specifically had iron teeth. It brake in pieces and it had 10 horns. When we move into Revelation, I'd like you to keep in mind, all of these, this specifically, this fourth beast is ascribed to the Antichrist. And specifically in Revelation, it is ascribed to the Antichrist. Revelation 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon its horns 10 crowns, and upon the heads the name of blasphemy. So I think you can quite easily see that there is direct parallels. We have the sea, these beasts coming out of the sea. We have 10 horns. And eventually, as we read down through Revelation, we have this beast being exceeding terrible and devouring the residue and all that type of language that goes on through Revelation. We can see the parallels there. We can see clearly in Daniel that these beasts are progressions of kingdoms that have come on this earth. Specifically, Daniel 2 and 7, we have the four kingdoms that are set up, that are a time period. And Daniel could see himself working through that time period in his life. He could see himself in that time period. So that's a quick look at Daniel and Revelation and how these events that are said to occur in the future from Daniel. And we're going to take a look at that now as to some of these things that are ascribed to the Antichrist from Daniel just do not add up with what the Bible said. So first of all, from Daniel chapter 11 through to the 21 to 45, it says there, Christ was the subject of Old Testament prophecy, so also is the Antichrist. Many are the predictions which describe this coming one, especially Daniel chapter 11 verses 24. 21 to 45. So that is, I got this off of the internet from a Christian site, and that's what they say comes from Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11 again, Christ was and will be the king of the Jews, from Matthew. So also will the Antichrist be. Christ will make a covenant with Israel, Hebrews 8:8. So also will the Antichrist, from Daniel chapter 9. Christ will return to the earth as Prince of Peace. So also will the Antichrist introduce an era of peace. From Daniel chapter 11. He will be endowed with most extraordinary powers, so that he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. From Daniel chapter 8. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. From Daniel chapter 8. In Daniel chapter 7 verse 20, which we have looked at, we are told that he has a mouth that spake very great things, ascribed to the Antichrist. Daniel chapter 11, verse 21, tells us that at first they will not give to him the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. Daniel chapter 9, number 9, Christ came to do the Father's will. Antichrist will do his own will, from Daniel chapter 11. Christ humbled himself. Antichrist exalts himself, from Daniel chapter 11. And finally, Antichrist refuses to honor the God of his fathers, from Daniel chapter 11. So there is a list of all of the things that are ascribed specifically Antichrist only from Daniel. Now there's many other things from Revelation and Zechariah that are ascribed to the Antichrist that we don't have time to look at. So all of these things are brought up coming from Daniel, from very simple passages that we've had a quick look at, and they are explained all to fit into what Antichrist is going to do. Now, the assumptions of this prophecy that are made by popular Christianity were made up many years ago to defer the blame from the Catholic Church in the 16th century. So we've said a lot about what the Antichrist is not, and all of the different things about Antichrist, what is presented to us by Christianity around us. If it's not some future satanic leader that will dominate the world, who or what is the Antichrist? Now, interestingly enough, the word Antichrist only appears 5 times in the Bible, from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And it's only found in the 1st and 2nd epistles of John. So let's start there, and let's take a look at what the Antichrist is all about. If you'll turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, from our reading that we had this evening, let's take a look at what the Bible tells us Antichrist is. 1 John chapter 2, let's read verses 18 and 19. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. So what are we talking about here? There are many antichrists. It says there in verse 18, even now are there many antichrists. So it's not specifically one person. And in verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. So this antichrist, whatever this antichrist was, part of the apostles' church at the very beginning when John was writing this, but they left that church and they went their own ways. Let's continue on a little bit farther down in the chapter, verse 22. Again, it talks to us about Antichrist. Verse 22, who is a liar, but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. So it says that Jesus didn't come in the flesh, that it denies that Jesus is the Christ and denies the Father and the Son. That's what Antichrist is. A little later on in the first epistle of John, chapter 4 and at verse 3. Again, talking to us about Antichrist. Chapter 4, verse 3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. Wherefore ye have heard that it should come, even now already is it in the world. So again, it states that this Antichrist states that Jesus didn't come in the flesh. It also, again, John reiterates it, that this system or this Antichrist, whatever it is, was already in the world when John was writing these passages. And the final reference that talks about Antichrist in the entire scriptures is found in 2 John and at verse 7. 2 John verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is the deceiver and an antichrist. Now, that's not what it's supposed to say, but again, it says that Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh. That's what the idea that we get there from verse 7. So that's it. That's all the Bible says about Antichrist. Those four references, one of those references had two quotes as to what the Antichrist is all about. The whole scripture, that's all it talks about. We've done it right there. We could have really only looked at that much of the Bible, but that's all the Bible says about Antichrist. From these passages and from every other passage in the Bible, everything else that is concocted about the Antichrist is made from illusions, from grasping at straws, as hopefully I'm presenting to you. I think you can see the major points that are being presented about this Antichrist. Antichrist was around when John wrote this epistle. And that the Antichrist denied that Jesus came in the flesh. So what does that mean? What does it mean that Jesus came in the flesh? When we look at that word, I looked up that word in my concordance and looked it up in the Greek, and really what that word means when you look at the word flesh, it gives the idea that Jesus was not human. If you come in the flesh, you do not, you are saying that you are human, is to be human, to have human nature. That's the idea that the Greek word gives to us when it says there that Jesus came in the flesh or did not come in the flesh. So to say that Jesus was anything other than human or had human nature is to be antichrist. Now this is supported throughout the entire scriptures, that Jesus was human, like you and me, and was not... Now this is supported throughout scriptures that Jesus was human like you and me, with God being his father. Now this is the major issue that we have to tackle when we're dealing with Antichrist, because this is what John brought up to us. This is the only place that Antichrist is mentioned, so this is very important. And it is important when dealing with the Antichrist that Jesus didn't come in the flesh. That's the idea that's presented to us. Now it's not our subject to go into the nature of Christ and what Jesus was. I have done a talk about the humanity of Jesus from the platform, but it's not our subject to go into that this evening. But the idea that Jesus was not human was a raging argument in the church at the time that John wrote. This idea that God came down to the earth in human form had started to take root quite early in the church after Jesus ascended to heaven. The early church was divided on this issue up until the time of Constantine in the 4th century. The Roman emperor at that time then decreed that Jesus was God and the issue was over. The doctrine of Antichrist is one that states that Jesus is not human. The people that started this false doctrine came out of the very early church and were starting this doctrine when John wrote. Now many or most Christian religions subscribe to the doctrine of the Trinity. Now this, my friends, is the reason why we must be so careful as to what we believe. If we subscribe to anything that is other than what is based on Bible teachings, can lead us to find ourselves in the camp of Antichrist against Christ. The other problem that we can find ourselves in is that we are looking for the wrong Antichrist. If we believe what most evangelists tell us, we are looking for a future Jewish leader to establish peace in Israel, demand world peace, and build a temple in Jerusalem and rule the world. This is what most Christians believe the Antichrist will do. We're going to take a quick look now to finish as to what Jesus is going to do when he returns to this earth. A comparison between Jesus and what the Antichrist is supposed to do. The Antichrist is said to be Jewish. Jesus is a Jew. Antichrist is said to come and establish peace in Jerusalem and throughout the world. Zechariah 14 verse 11 tells us what Jesus will do. And the men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. The Antichrist will demand that people come and worship him. Zechariah 14 verse 16 tells us what Jesus will do. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Antichrist is said to come and make a covenant with Israel. Hebrews 8 verse 8, for finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. That's what Jesus is going to do. Antichrist sets up world peace. This is what Jesus is going to do. Isaiah chapter 2 verse 3. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God, house of the God of Jacob. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Ascribe to the Lord Jesus Christ as to what he is going to do in the future. The Antichrist builds a temple. Zechariah 6 verse 12 tells us what Jesus is going to do. And speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. And in Ezekiel chapter 40, and in the last chapters of Ezekiel, we have a description of that temple that is going to be built by Jesus. Antichrist will set up, supposedly, a world government. Well, what is Jesus going to do? And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. Daniel 2, verse 44. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. What the Lord Jesus Christ is going to do is set up a world government. Everything the Christians think Antichrist will do, Jesus is going to do when he returns. Friends, mainstream Christianity is looking for an Antichrist to come that will do everything that the Bible tells us Jesus, the Messiah, is going to do. Now, this is a very scary situation that we could find ourselves in. To think that when Jesus actually returns, the religions of this world are going to turn on him and think that he is Antichrist. These people have come to these conclusions based on two false ways of thinking. The first is false interpretations of Bible prophecies, and the second is false doctrine taken from the Bible. We must be on our guard and be ready for when Jesus returns. Hopefully, we will not be in the position to be looking for that Antichrist. There is much more that we can talk about on this topic, and there is much more depth that we can go into this, the topic of Antichrist and the return of Jesus. There's so much more. There's such things as the events that are going to happen that the Bible clearly lays out for us before Jesus returns. And I guess the most important topic is how can we be ready for that time when Jesus returns to this earth? Tonight is not the night, but I'm sure I'd ask you to stay with me afterwards and we can discuss these things. But there are many more lessons and many more issues that we can come up with along this subject. So what have we said this evening? First of all, Christianity is looking for a Jewish Antichrist to appear in Israel in the future. This is based on false interpretations and false conclusions from Daniel and Revelation. Antichrist, from the Bible, from those few passages that we looked at, is anyone who claims Jesus did not come in the flesh. That's all it says about Antichrist. And finally, Jesus is coming back and will fulfill what Christianity believes Antichrist will do. So where do we stand is the question that I pose to you. Mainstream Christianity is setting itself up to oppose the Messiah, Jesus, when he returns. Where do you and where do I stand in relation to these future events? Are you ready for Jesus to return? And we pray that we won't be left behind.